It's the Lifetime Body Podcast, where science meets common sense and where we help you make your body last a lifetime. Join physical therapist, author, and human performance expert John Zombro and inquisitive life-optimizing co-host PK the Incomparable as we explore the secrets of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness in the pursuit of ultimate wellness. In each and every show, you'll learn how to look, feel, and perform your best so that you can live your longest, healthiest, and happiest life. Hey, and welcome to the Lifetime Body. This is a podcast about all things wellness, health, longevity, and performance, and making your body last a lifetime. So today we're going to get into an interesting topic. It's a topic known as human locomotion. And if we go back to 1974, it was Grand Funk Railroad that said, everybody's doing the locomotion. And that's true. It's true today. And that song goes on to say, come on, baby, do the locomotion. And finally, come on and do the locomotion with me. And that's what I'm asking you guys to do today. Let's do the locomotion. Let's talk specifically about running and where it can fall in our health and fitness practices, and also running the mile as a measure of our performance capacity. So PK, how's that sound to you, sir?
John Boy, that was the most outstanding intro that you've given yet in episode 007. Well done.
Hey, I and we can only get better.
Good stuff. So so dive a little deeper. So you know, we're talking about running just in general. It's everything in our culture, from celebrated with almost obsessive devotion to, you know, something that's considered that, you know, the enemy to many folks out there, fitness and otherwise. So where are you going to take us today on this journey?
Yeah, so let's break this down. So human locomotion is basically how we move when we're upright, because we're bipedal, we stand on two legs. It has three components. We can sprint, and everyone knows what sprinting is, you know, just a quick dash for potentially a few seconds. We can walk long distances, maybe all day. You know, both of those things are rooted in our genetic design and our ancestral history. But there's a thing in the middle, which we call running. And we are designed to be able to run. And that includes, you know, anything from jogging at a very comfortable or easy pace up to, you know, running fairly fast, but not quite sprinting. It's a broad area. That's what I want to talk about today, because as you indicated, it's a little bit misunderstood. Again, some adore it, some loathe it. And I think we might just want to be in the middle as opposed to at either extreme.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, carry on.
Okay. So, you know, first of all, we want to couch this by saying, you know, some folks among us, you know, they have congenital issues or injuries that limit them, and they're just not able to run, but, you know, and we respect that. But then most of us, we're born with this genetic programming to be able to run. So I'm not necessarily saying everyone has to be a marathon runner. I don't believe that, but everyone starts out being capable of running. And if you watch kids on a playground, you know, you can see this example, you know, that we all are born with. And then strangely enough, it slips away. And whether we want to say society robs it from us due to sometimes sedentary lifestyles or, you know, effects of standard American diet, et cetera, or through choice. But we're here to say, let's try to look at this objectively and maybe consider getting it back.
Excellent. And so what are some examples of, you know, where running might fit into the life of just the normal folks out there?
Yeah, so it you know, it's a functional capacity that we should preserve if we can. And there are ways to approach and maintain that safely. So there's that side of it. There's the, oh, you know, humans were, you know, given this ability to run a little bit, and maybe we want to maintain that through the lifespan. It can be healthy, helpful also in quality of life. Example being, if you want to play with your grandkids or you need to run to catch a plane or whatever, you know, if you're able to do that without injury, that's beneficial. But today we're going to talk about, well, if we're in this middle ground, you know, we're not sprinting and we're not walking, we're jogging or running a little bit. I like to talk about the mile run, the 1 mile run, because it's approachable and it's tangible for most people. And it's also fairly well validated in terms of a measure of fitness and health as well. And it's approachable. So if you said, gosh, you know, hey, let's have a person run a mile here and there, you get a lot of fitness benefits from that. Whereas if you tell someone, hey, why don't you run a half marathon here? And there are many people who are going to say, well, that's not for me. And I certainly would agree.
Right. And it's also a good measuring stick, regardless of if you're, say, on the elite side of an athlete and you train hard versus if you're more of a sort of a running for overall wellness and health.
Yeah. And I think we'll touch on this as we go along. You know, there are a lot of ways to do aerobic exercise, get health and fitness. Running is only one of them. It may not be the best one for many people. We'll have some examples, but just this intro point would be that, you know, here we are, running is locomotion. We are all made to do some of it. And now we're going to go through and look at some of the specific applications. Well, how do you do that?
Excellent. Let's do it.
Okay. So before we get into that, I've got a question for you. Do you know what Getty, Alex, and Neil told us in 1976?
Well, no, John Boy, I don't.
Wow, you don't get something for nothing.
That's so true in many cases.
But not when you use the Lifetime Body shop page. So folks, here's the deal. The Lifetime Body shop page is a free resource for all of your health and fitness shopping needs. For years, many clients had asked me things like, what should I use, or where can I get that? I realized that I could save them valuable energy by putting together a page of food, personal care products, and fitness equipment. It's a great resource for many, if not most of the things we use at the Lifetime Body to help people make their bodies last a lifetime. We'll be sharing more information about the super deals and discounts that our affiliate merchants and sponsors offer you when you shop through the page. All you have to do is go to thelifetimebody.com and click on the shop menu in the upper right. This adds absolutely no cost to your transactions while saving you time and money. And your support helps us keep this podcast and the other free wellness services that we provide at the Lifetime Body going. Thanks so much for your support. Now let's get back to the show.
Sounds good. So so let's dive into really the first main point. And, you know, where does running fit into, you know, how you can move the needle on your health and fitness?
Sure. So I mentioned that, you know, it's a maintenance or it's a factor of our locomotive ability, and there's a genetic basis, but it correlates with significant reductions in cardiovascular disease risk, among others. And that's true of most forms of exercise, but, you know, there have been a lot of studies done on running because it's easy to measure and a lot of people do it. But that's the first thing we would say is, gosh, you know, if we put running under the category of aerobic exercise, we need to do some of this because it does have cardioprotective benefits.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think that are there other considerations, those fitness benefits, can you get those if you're a non-runner?
Yes, absolutely. And so we say for the runners, you know, obviously it's efficient and it's effective. It's, you know, all you need is a pair of shoes generally, unless you have some safe places to run barefoot, which I highly advocate in certain circumstances. That's what, you know, that's why a lot of people like running, because it's, you know, it's easy and it doesn't require a lot of equipment and time. However, for those that either cannot or just, you know, don't want to, have not, you know, they're not having a positive experience with locomotion, yes, the answer is you can get almost all of the fitness benefits through, you know, using a bicycle, using a swimming pool, using circuit training, the list goes on and on. And so that fitness side of it is attainable or achievable in many ways. And so sometimes we have to do that. My whole point, though, is that we might want to look beyond fitness and say, well, gosh, you know, I need to, I need to be able to run a little. It's just what makes me a functional human.
Right, right. I think that when we were talking before we started recording, the turn of phrase you used that I wrote down is it's essential as a functional human to be able to run at least a little bit when necessary.
Yes, exactly. And I, you know, I'll tell a quick story. I have written a couple of blog posts recently on this topic, and I'll put a link in the description to those posts on the Lifetime Body website. And they're explanatory of this. But I was out on a fishing trip a little earlier this summer with a friend, and we were driving home, and we're driving along a road that goes along a local river, and we came around the corner, and there was a couple in great distress. And so we, you know, pulled over, and they were tourists who were with a group that was floating down the river on tubes. And this couple had, you know, inadvertently missed the takeout point, and they'd come downstream about 3/4 of a mile. And the time was getting close for the bus to leave. And they were, you know, in duress and actually panicked because they were afraid that they weren't going to catch the bus and they'd be lost. Well, we were chatting with them. So we'll give you a ride. And just at the time we were about to give them a ride, the bus came around the corner looking for them, and they got picked up, and you could really palpably sense their relief. And I felt that as well, but I also felt, gosh, you know, if they had only had that functional ability to shuffle down the road, it was a flat road, just a short distance, they could have made the bus and solved their problem. But because they had allowed that function to be non-existent, you know, they were basically incapacitated. And I took that seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, not obviously passing judgment. It's just an observation on being able to, just like you said, shuffle down the road for a mile is important for just overall function, not even fitness.
Right. And exactly. And I'm not coming at this from a place of condemnation. You know, my job is, you know, I like to help people solve problems, health, fitness, performance, longevity, and give them back that gift of function. And so, that's just an example. But talking a little bit about running, the next comment or concept I would bring up is that we're talking about a minimal amount here, you know, so at the Lifetime Body, you know, it's not, an ultra marathon training group. I do work with a few clients in that capacity to help them do that, you know, safely and, you know, not impair their health pursuing their sports goals. But in general, I like to advocate for a minimal amount of running and to use minimalist training in that approach.
So talk a little bit more about what you mean by that, John.
Yeah. So if we say, well, you know, okay, you got to catch that bus and you need to be able to jog less than a mile down the road. You know, you can do that with very little running training in your week. You know, for example, you know, if on the extreme, if a person walks a bit and uses the elliptical and does some resistance training, their body's actually going to be capable of running without having even ran a step. But I like to take it a little bit further and say, well, you know, maybe once or twice a week, a small amount of running, you know, perhaps less than a mile to maintain functional status can complement the other things the person's doing for fitness. So it doesn't take much. And that's one of the messages that I'd put out there. And then we can get into performance a little bit. You know, you can achieve very decent, most of one's potential performance levels on a minimal amount of training if you use the science. And so that's kind of one of my things these days when we look at the data that looks at overuse injuries, orthopedic stress, or even cardiovascular issues with extreme amounts of training. You know, I like to create that win where, you know, hey, you know, let's get more from less. And that's sometimes fun for a lot of fitness enthusiasts to explore.
And so what you mean is that even if you're training for a running event and say you're an avid runner, you can benefit from the minimalist training with actual running itself.
Yeah, true in most cases. I mean, obviously there's a place for volume. Sure. And there are people that, you know, people run, people exercise for many reasons, but runners in particular, you know, they run for fitness, for goals, for, you know, possibly weight management, although that might not be the best strategy there. Social, stress relief, and all those things are great. But the strategic use of scientific training and rest oftentimes results in a reduction in volume for even, you know, those folks. And it's tough too, because a lot of the avid runners, you know, the career runners, you know, they don't want to run less, you know, that's not why yeah. they're in the game. And so sometimes we have, you know, have to, you know, work through that. And look at goal setting also. So I'll say, you know, gosh, if you aren't getting the results you're looking for, then we either need to, you know, change the training behaviors to achieve the desired outcome, or let's change the goal and realize, hey, you're happy with what you're doing and it's working. But sometimes it's good to have, you know, a person on the outside helping a runner to optimize. And last thing I would say, pardon me for rambling on a little bit, is, you know, we never need to forget about play and fun. And how about a smile now and again? And so I see a lot of people, you know, that maybe give running a bad name because you're driving down the road and they're running the other direction. And it looks fairly agonizing.
So, it does.
And there's nothing, and again, I'm not saying that occasionally you don't put out effort. Of course, you know, we want to test and challenge. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, misery and torture shouldn't really fit in with our fitness behavior. So the whole point I wanted to make about this running thing is I think for most people, you know, my advice is, you know, I just want you to be able to run. If you like running, let's do it some. And also, let's always look at that idea of minimum effective dosage versus maximum absorbable dosage.
Absolutely. And, you know, that it's funny, you tell a story about, you see someone with that look on their face. And, at least for me, I've never had been, even in my most fit times in my youth, been good at running. And so I just kind of associate that grimace on someone's face as my experience. But, certainly if I look back at, and you know, you talk about playing a sport or just kind of, you know, being in a park, catching a Frisbee, the fun and the joy that's associated with being mobile and functional like that, that's just, it's without question.
Yeah. And it's the joy of movement. And so maybe that's a great chance to bring this up. So, you know, here you are, you're one of these folks that, that has had, you know, some significant orthopedic issues, for whom running really isn't a good choice for you. So you're capable of running because you maintain your health and fitness. So you can catch that bus or whatever you need to do. But using running as a training tool isn't appropriate for you because of, you know, primarily your knee. And, and I think that that's, you know, you still fit into this, you know, categorization that we're talking about. And then you just use myself for an example as well. You know, I used to do quite a bit of running. And now I do a very small amount. And again, you know, anybody can do the amount that they want, but we just want to preserve that function.
Right. Absolutely. And then if you go one step or add a little bit of, you know, add something in additional to this conversation, you know, how can a mile itself, Where does that fit into the picture in terms of how we can all use that just to measure ourselves and learn and improve?
Sure. So that, you know, the mile run has been a fairly standard test for over a century as a marker of fitness or cardiovascular performance capacity. It's relatively accessible. It's a quick and dirty test. You know, tracks don't lie. So you can go to your local high school or university track and you know, warm up properly and run four laps, actually just a tiny bit more, because those tracks are 400 meter tracks, and so four laps is 1600 meters, and a mile 1760 yards is actually 1609 meters. So, you know, you can figure that out. But yeah, you can find out where you are. And I like to look at that a couple ways. You know, as humans, we're durable beasts, and we're made to have these episodic tests or challenges. In fact, it's good for us to have our system stimulated that way. So a couple times a year, I like to encourage my clients, hey, you know, if you can do this, go out and run a mile and see where you're at. And there's a lot of data available that you can use as a comparison to, you know, norms that are out there. Some of them are health related. In other words, and I've got a reference in one of those blog posts. There's a fairly classic study that looked at, you know, males, 50-year-old males who could run a mile in 10 minutes had a 30% risk of a cardiovascular event in their lifetime. If those same men could run the mile in 8 minutes, their risk reduced to 10%, and so forth, so on. So here's the interesting thing. Once you get past a certain point, running faster is not probably not going to make you healthier. It's just a performance measure and a marker. And you know, I think we should compete once in a while, and it's okay to compare yourselves to others in a positive way. But really, we want to have that challenge with ourselves and make the slowdown of life very incremental.
Right. And I mean, you know, it's just a consistent measuring stick. If you use that, and like you said, do it 2-3 times a year, then you really know whether you're maintaining or improving, or actually if you've fallen off. It can be not necessarily a wake up call, but just, you know, you're getting data and you can use that intelligently.
Yeah, totally. So this last post that I put out under the same title, Locomotion, what I did, I kind of schemed up a system for a person to be able to get an idea of what a really good performance, maybe not competitive runner performance, but high level fitness individual in the mile run would be. So I took the mile world records, and this is all linked in that post. And, you know, they're in 5-year increments from age 35 to 100. And so for each age group and gender, I've got a conversion factor in there, and you can do some very simple math and come up with a fairly reasonable but challenging time for many people. And in setting this up, you know, one of my clients just recently, 66 years old, we did the math for him, and I believe he's got to run a 7:42 mile, which is doable for him, you know, with some training, and he's going to approach that this fall. So kind of a fun thing to put out there and say, well, where are you? And it's again, a quick and dirty test.
Yeah, absolutely. So then how would you wrap this all together? What would you summarize sort of the locomotion ideas here?
Yeah. So locomotion or running, you know, we're in that middle ground that, you know, we'll save sprinting and walking for other times, but it's natural. If we're, you know, I don't think that we need to argue or debate that point, that it's a natural process for us humans, but society probably took some of that from us, you know, with sedentarism, with the standard American diet and all of its issues, such that ability to run has slipped away. And it's kind of an interesting spiral too, because you'll find some folks who, you know, I get into this a lot with my clients, and, you know, it's the, I don't because I can't, but really what they're saying is I can't because I don't, you know, I can't do that anymore because I didn't maintain it. And that's not saying, oh, you know, you're a bad person. No, not at all. You know, life happens, but there's a way to safely, in most cases, restore this function that, that gets away from us. And, you know, we're living in this world of convenience and combustion engines, you know, it has a lot of wonderful things, but also, you know, we have to challenge ourselves to maintain those primal ways.
Yes. Oh, I loved how you just said that. And I think that personally, I identify with that, you know, with the ebbs and flows of fitness and, you know, lack of in my own life. I think that sentiment that you said just is, I can't, because I don't. There's a lot of that just rings true to me, John.
Oh yeah. And you know, I think we've covered this, you know, fairly well. What I would sum it up with this, you know, running part of locomotion is my message to everyone is if you can, you should run a little. And then if you do run already, don't just do it, do it right. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are ways to train safely, maintain your health, have high levels of fitness, get great performance. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, there are a lot of great resources out there, but sometimes a person may need some coaching. And that's, you know, that's what I do. So just a good food for thought. And maybe a final thing, you know, don't be afraid to test yourself once in a while. We've got some negative stigma around high intensity exercise. Really, we just don't need it to be too frequent. That's the main key. And the body's made for use. And we need to keep doing that as we go through this lifespan.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend.
Well, thank you. And so as we sign off, I want to thank the listeners. This has been great fun for me. I hope it has been for you too as well, PK.
It has.
And I want to ask everyone for, if you have questions, comments, thoughts, feedback about this or other things, we'll be doing a mailbag show. It's coming up soon. And you know, feel free to just reach out to me directly, john@thelifetimebody.com. And we'll be sure to put those up. And also, lastly, head on over to the shop page and enjoy those great deals and time-saving convenience.
Absolutely.
Okay, so farewell, guys, and thanks again.